Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Left foot's the punt, left to right toward Marcus Jones. He's under between the hash marks at the 6. He runs it left to the 15. Oh, to the 20, accelerates 30, 35, 40. Beating Gillen off the hit along the near side 40. To the 30, Marcus Jones gone to the 20, to the 10, to the house. Touchdown, Patriots!
Ah, damn it!
Thank you to the Patriots Radio Network, and that's probably, hopefully, when Manny turned the game off as a Giants fan. This one never felt close. Final score, though, 33-15, so I guess respectable, sort of. Comedy of errors for the Giants and Pearl. It was 17-0 at the end of the first quarter because of that punt return for a touchdown, another touchdown, and a field goal that the Patriots were certainly trying to send a statement, I thought, last night of taking advantage of a weaker opponent and trying to show just how tough they are on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I don't totally get that. Like, that feels like a college thing. Like, for example, EJ, your Miami Hurricanes tacked on a touchdown at the end of their last game, according to Steve Sarkisian. Like, NFL teams, they don't send messages. They don't do those things. They're just trying to get through their schedule and play the best again. You think they actually put a little extra sauce on last night?
I think that some of the hits that they were laying last night felt very borderline. And maybe it's just Christian Ellis, and there was a big moment where he knocks Jackson Dart, who's running for the first down, but Dart had like half a foot still in bounds, and so he was fair game to get completely trucked by Christian Ellis. Ellis then had a big special teams tackle on Gunnar Olszewski, where he sent the guy out of the game and into the locker room in concussion protocol. So, I don't know. I felt like it was a little something from the Patriots, who were missing a few guys last night. They don't get a lot of primetime love, and I think they wanted to show we're a really physical football team, and I think that's the Mike Vrabel way. And I don't know, because I think a lot of people don't know much about the Patriots, because how much are you really dialed in? Their schedule has been so weak. Are you really tuning in for Patriots Saints? Are you tuning in for Patriots Falcons? Like, these games have kind of come and gone with little fanfare.
Yeah, but did anyone, and I don't know Monday Night Football numbers, did anyone tune in for last night?
Well, I mean, more the Giants, people than a 1 o'clock game against the Browns.
I don't know. I feel like the Giants probably are one of the lowest rated teams when they're generally, like, remember, they used to be Bizarre New York. Now they're always at 1 o'clock. I don't know that this game was any different. Honestly, the real test is it 2 weeks against Buffalo?
Yeah.
They're
going into their bye week, though, the Patriots, a late bye, which teams always love.
Because Will Campbell is still, what, 3 or 4 weeks? Albert Breer said yesterday that they're going to try to have their left tackle ready for the final game of the season. So they could use, you know, they're definitely a dangerous team, but I'm so sorry. I feel like an idiot for saying this. I got to see it against a good team. Like, I don't even really care if you beat the Giants.
Okay, well, they did go down to Tampa Bay and beat the Bucs.
That means nothing.
They did beat the Bills in Buffalo, which a lot of people have beat the Bills this year. So maybe that's not as great. But they did go down. Tampa was a little banged up at that point, but they did go into Tampa and win. We kind of looked at that.
Tampa's not even going to be a winning team.
Well, but they were leading the division, and Baker Mayfield was a fringe MVP candidate still at that time.
They're going to be 8-9.
I'm just telling you, Pearl, at that point, the Bucs were hot. They went to Seattle and won. That was a different Bucs team.
Well, I'm just saying, no, I mean, they'd already, I don't think they had Godwin or Evans for that game, right?
No, they were banged up for the game.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
So, again, I don't think you can point to that one. The win at Buffalo, you can point to. But I still wonder, you know, they're going to come in the playoffs, maybe even have the bye. And I think everybody, all the experts who make picks are going to be like, yeah, I don't see it.
Okay,
I guarantee. Now, that doesn't mean they won't make it. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of public movement behind the Patriots.
Maybe not, but, you know, this could be the perfect season for them to be making this run, because who scares you in the AFC? The Colts have a quarterback who's got a fracture in his fibula. That can't be good. You know, the Chiefs may not make the playoffs. The Ravens may not make the playoffs, depending on what happens with the Steelers. And how scared are you of the Ravens at this point? You know, Buffalo has some major flaws. So who else do you love? Do you love the Texans coming on late? Do you love the Chargers, Jacksonville?
Yeah. Not the Chargers. How about the Bengals?
They're not going to make the playoffs.
Hmm.
They're not.
Are we sure? Are we sure? They're 4-8, and the Ravens are 6-6, and they play. I'm just saying, I wouldn't count them out either. Something crazy is going to happen in this AFC. Remember the year that the Bengals snuck through the Super Bowl? Who did they beat in their second playoff game?
Titans.
Mike Vrabel.
Yep.
Mike Vrabel does not have...
Well, Ryan Tannehill.
I mean, yeah, but that was very much a Mike Vrabel team, beat up on crappy division opponents all season long. Had the number one seed, but was it real? That's why I think there's going to be a lot of skepticism about New England. And maybe you're right. Maybe they show something. Maybe they're hearing those dissenters and they want to prove something. I mean, Drake May is awesome. There's no doubt about it. The numbers are incredible. His 20-yard plus stats are insane. It's almost like they're fake. But again, I think we all have to see it against a real team.
You want to redraft that draft class now? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May?
Drake May, numero uno.
Yep, and I don't even think it's a question. We'll see what happens when Daniels is actually healthy, if that ever happens again. EJ, can we throw a poll question up at Maggie and Pearl on X, please? Do you consider the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender? And they're the best record in the NFL. And then on the Giants side of things, if you've got ideas to help the Giants, we're all ears. Because
so are the Giants.
I mean,
that's not a one move away situation.
You got to get a new GM. I mean, like, the conversation starts there.
Well, he survived after Joe Shane survived when Brian Daboll, the head coach, got fired last month. But I don't know how Shane makes it through now.
Yeah. But this is good. You like this, Maggie, because you can hire the head coach and the GM at the same time.
I do like that generally. But they did that last time. They brought in Shane and Dable both from Buffalo. And it turns out the best guys in Buffalo might still be in Buffalo.
Playoff.
What's that?
They made one playoff run.
That's true. They beat a Minnesota Vikings team that was, you know, maybe not as good as their record said, but they did win a playoff game on the road. And then they ran into the Philadelphia Eagles and got stumbled.
And it set the franchise back half a decade.
This is a franchise, by the way.
Daniel Jones.
Sometimes you have to really, really, really bottom out to get good. And the famous lore is that the miracle of the Meadowlands in 78, the Giants were so embarrassed by that they ripped up everything, brought in the George Young Hall of Fame GM, brought in Bill Parcells. So maybe this season, and I think it's the one play, it's not a miracle of the Meadowlands, but the kicker kicking the ground instead of the football, that could be the moment. That could be the bottom. Possible?
We're living at the bottom.
But you need a bottom.
But are
you saying you're just skating along the bottom right now?
We've been at the bottom for half a decade now.
Yeah, since Tom Coughlin, you've been messing around with Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur.
Pat McAdoo won 11 games 1 year.
They did. They
that's the problem. Is that they keep having these off years where Daboll wins 9, McAdoo wins 10. Like they have these random years that make the people think that, oh, you know what, we should invest in the core because we showed in one season that we could be good, and then the whole bottom falls out. Like I think Pearl is right. Like they need somebody to say, I don't care what the coach wants to do in the first year. We're just taking everybody out. We're getting rid of everybody. Dexter Lawrence, see you later. Kayvon Thibodeau, see you later. And we got to start completely from scratch.
Ooh, Dexter Lawrence, see you later?
The Jets just did it with Quinnen Williams, and they just did it with Sauce Gardner. And I'm not saying the Jets plan is going to work, but I just think that it's clear that this core can't win.
Well, you'd be selling low on Thibodeau.
Oh, by the way, who got those guys? Joe Shane, who still has a job.
Yeah, some of his drafts don't look great in hindsight. But you love Jackson Dart, and he pulled that off. So I don't know if it's enough to save him.
Obviously, 27 for Joe Shane. Congratulations, Joe.
I mean, here's the other thing, too, is this is how you know the Giants are really far away. So the Giants would never do Hard Knocks, okay? Never do it. Even though Hard Knocks is basically a commercial for your team, okay? Instead, I'm talking about the training camp Hard Knocks.
Right.
You can't get any more fluffy. Yeah. You know, they don't do the gritty stuff anymore. You're not watching Bart Scott, you know, duct tape somebody to a goalpost. Like, that stuff doesn't exist anymore. That's a 2006, 7, 8, whatever year that was type of thing. Now it's just so glossy. Giants wouldn't do that, okay? Instead, what do they choose to do? Now focus on their players and highlight them. They want to do off-season hard knocks and give everyone inner workings into their front office that they thought was so smart, smarter than everybody else.
Kids are smart.
And they were embarrassed on that hard knocks. And so it doesn't matter even how many people watched it, probably not that many, but it just goes to show you the mentality. We're not going to give you the sprinklers and Saquon Barkley, you know, running in slow-mo out of the tunnel, which gets everyone excited. Instead, we're going to show you the behind the scenes of everyone's in a quarter zip vest, thinking that they're the smartest guy in the room, and they're not. And so I think it just, the mentality is all messed up over there.
Can't wait for the in-season Hard Knocks that covers the NFC East this season.
Oh, yeah, that's coming out. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, I saw an ad for that. What do you mean coming? It's already week 13. When is this thing coming?
I don't know.
It's not out yet, right?
No, it's not out yet.
I don't think so, no.
By the way.
I hope they have footage of the people egging the offensive coordinator for the Eagles house.
Oh, that'd be gorgeous.
As a shallow fan, though, and I know, Manny, you are a shallow fan.
Oh, I know. I'm the shallow as a waiting
game. So you have Jackson Dart coming back. You have Malik Nabers coming back.
Cam Scataboo.
I forgot about him. But
Did I just throw a wrench in your plans?
Well, what if you take Jeremiah Love or Jordan Tyson or another awesome skill player? You're basically recreating Ole Miss under Lane Kiffin. You should have brought Lane Kiffin. What if you have Jackson Dart and stars all around him? That would be fun. And bring in Clint Kubiak.
What a novel idea, Pearl.
I'm just saying, can you imagine two star wide receivers on the Giants who've never, ever, ever invested in wide receiver?
That'd be nice. It's a good idea.
I don't think it would work. I think you have to build the trenches, honestly. But I think you could get really, really excited about, they're going to make a draft pick in April because they don't need a quarterback. So that gives them all sorts of opportunities.
They've been trying to build the offensive line for like a decade.
Yeah. They have the left tackle, though. They have the left tackle.
So they have the left tackle. So get the top receiver. That'd be really fun. Then you have two, you have like a Jordan, you have a George Pick and CeeDee Lamb situation with Jackson Dart.
I don't know.
All of a sudden, you're amazing at offense.
You're saying that the Giants have never had a great receiver. I will not stand for this Imani Toomer slander.
But they've never had two receivers.
Okay. Yeah.
Imani and Plaxico were good.
Plaxico Burress was good. Until he shot himself in the leg.
Nixon Manningham were okay.
They were good. No, I know. But they didn't draft a lot of those guys high, right?
Yeah, no.
Honestly, the big takeaway from Plaxico Burress shooting himself in the leg in a nightclub is don't wear sweatpants to the club. And that should have been a given. Yeah. Let's get to Lane Kiffin. So, Pearl, he gets introduced yesterday to
Giants head
LSU.
Coach.
What a segue that was.
Yeah. I think the LSU is a way better job than the Giants right now.
Anyway, Lane Kiffin will not need sweatpants in Baton Rouge. You know how humid it is over there? Shorts every day.
Yeah. Be nice. It's really cold here right now. Anyway, Lane Kiffin. Let's talk about it, Pearl. Not only was he was laying it on real thick yesterday. Let's hear a little bit about Kiffin. How about cut 11, please, Manny? He always dreamed of having a home field advantage like the one in Death Valley.
I always thought to myself, man, what if we had that advantage on our side? So if we combine what we do, the way that we coach players, the systems that we run, and now we have that intensity on our side for the opponent to deal with, again, that's how all it painted all together to say, and this is where you're supposed to be.
Right. And also said he was so overwhelmed when he saw Tiger Stadium that he said he wanted to start talking like Ed Orgeron and even called Ed O and gave him a go Tigers. Which is now, does this take Brian Kelly a little off the hook? Brian Kelly tried to fake it a Louisiana accent and we clowned him for it. Lane Kiffin's just owning it.
I'm here with my family.
He was dead in the water from that moment.
I feel like Lane was self-aware enough that he kind of made it work. And it made Brian Kelly look worse somehow, even though it already happened a few years ago. Yeah, I feel like nobody's giving Lane a hard time. Also, Lane kind of feels SEC, where obviously Brian Kelly did not.
Sure. Okay, so I think the big question now is LSU going to get their money's worth with Lane Kiffin? So some of the details in the contract, if you're into this kind of thing, some people don't care, don't watch sports about coaches' contracts or what have you. I was a little, not just that the number is big, but the idea that Lane Kiffin Pearl had no idea what his contract number is. Do you believe that?
Oh, God, no. How would he not know? It's, first of all, it's plastered. There was a rumor he was getting $98 million a year from LSU. He definitely knew. How could you take a job without knowing how much you're getting paid?
Right. So I think the point he was trying to make is that the number for him was pretty much even amongst four schools. We didn't know there was a fourth school. We still don't know who it is. But between Florida, Ole Miss, and LSU, his salary was about even in all of those contracts. What was, he said, not even in the same ballpark was LSU's commitment to NIL. And their NIL package blew away Florida and blew away Ole Miss. And that was another reason why he feels like they can win at LSU,
sure,
along with the stadium and all the other things.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if actually, you know, what is it? It's December 2nd. Like, do they already have those specific players in mind? Like, did they say, if you come here, we're getting you this star quarterback. It's already done. Like, I wonder if Lane looked awfully confident at that podium. I think he knows he's getting a crazy transfer portal class. And he better, because their schedule's awful next year.
So National Signing Day is tomorrow.
Well, yeah, that's not really what this is about, though.
No,
right?
It's not, but yeah, that's going to be the first maybe flag planted in the ground of what are you doing from the high school side of it. And then obviously when the portal opens in January, then we'll see what he wants to do.
But I imagine because of the money they're spending, like they can't afford to really, they can recruit freshmen, but they can't do a Bryce Underwood situation. Like he needs to get a 22-year-old quarterback next year and start winning immediately. He can't do the high school route.
Well, I'm wondering if that's just Austin Simmons who could come with him from
Ole Miss. I was wondering if he could do better.
I think Simmons is really good. He just got hurt this year. And Trinidad Chambliss, who had won a lower division championship at Ferris State, came in and just really took the job. I don't think that means Austin Simmons is a zero.
I wonder if he's got the big fish on the hook in, because he's a boat guy. I wonder if DJ Lagway is already flirting with LSU.
Mm, interesting, from Florida.
Because Austin Simmons, if he's so good, why wouldn't he be on the field?
Well, he got hurt.
He got hurt, but he's certainly healthy now. They use him all the time.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it was just like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Go with Chambliss.
Yeah, Chambliss is awesome. I totally get it. But I just don't know. And the other thing, too, Austin Simmons is very much unknown. He'll throw a rocket on an 8-yard pass. He's still got a lot of maturing to do. I think that they definitely have players in place here. Like, you could tell by the way Lane was talking about the roster that something, moves have been being made. So I think LSU is going to have this crazy expensive roster, which is good.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think the big question is all this going to end up being worth it? One other small detail in Lane's contract is that if Ole Miss, who he's not coaching, Ole Miss hired a whole new coach, well, elevated the defensive coordinator and then gave him the job permanently. If Ole Miss goes on a run, LSU is going to pay the bonuses that Lane would have gotten for wins in the college football playoff. I hope all of us at one point in our life enjoy the kind of leverage that Lane Kiffin is holding over LSU at this moment. I mean, you can't get more leverage than that. Think about it. On whatever Ole Miss does, Lane's going to get the bonuses from that. I never even thought that's possible. Kudos to his agent who kind of shadow runs college football to begin with, a guy named Jimmy Sexton, who no one can pick out of a lineup, but is probably one of those powerful people in sports.
I saw his picture yesterday, and I was like, wow, I didn't think he'd look like that.
Yeah, I don't know what he looks
like. What do you think he was going to look like? Hot shot, slick?
I thought he'd be, black hair, probably dye job.
No.
Suit.
Look like Pat Riley.
Yeah, exactly. Pat Riley coaching the Knicks, exactly what I was looking for. Okay. And instead, I got Gary from Parks and Rec. I was like, that's the guy that runs college football? Wow. Good for him.
Yeah, he does look like Gary.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
It's always the ones you don't see coming, either.
Sexton's been doing this forever, too.
Yeah, do you know the rumor that's out there? I think, according to the internet, Todd McShay said this on Bill Simmons' podcast, that Jimmy Sexton was James Franklin's agent and is really ticked off at Penn State for how they handled Franklin and is now making it hard for Penn State to make a hire.
That would actually make a lot of sense, because like I said in the last hour, I don't get why this has been such a struggle for them. I mean, they hired James Franklin pretty easily. Like, that wasn't like when they even got Bill O'Brien pretty quickly, even after all the scandal. So,
yeah, and the sanctions.
Right. And Penn State, again, is an attractive job for a lot of reasons. So the fact that they're like sitting out there in the cold, no pun intended, because it is cold in Happy Valley today, is weird. But Jimmy Sexton being a part of that wouldn't surprise me.
Only about 90 minutes away from Hershey, Pennsylvania.
The only thing about it, though, is that he's got so many clients. Like, why wouldn't you just, why hold a grudge against Penn State for one of your clients and just get another one of your clients in there? Like, is this about, are we making money or are we in our feelings? Like, well, that's what doesn't compute to
me. It might be a trust thing, though. Because if you feel like, well, if I send another client there after they just did my guy dirty.
Yeah, they're going to get, what, filthy rich?
Like, I guess, but I mean, you don't want to, I mean, I'm sure Jimmy Sexton doesn't want a bunch of fired, you know, failed coaches on his ledger, right?
Jimmy Sexton sounds like he's Scott Boras. Like, he could live five lifetimes and not spend the money he's making off. Did you see what Lane Kiffin just signed for? Like, he gets a chunk of that.
No kidding.
He's fine. He doesn't need the money. But get back to the original question. I think Lane Kiffin is going to work at LSU.
What does that mean? What's working?
Well, I definitely think maybe next year, maybe not, but I think they're going to buy a crazy roster, and he's a good play caller, good offensive coach. I think they're going to make the playoff, at least, and say they're 6 years, I think they'll make two or three playoffs.
Is that enough?
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, all you have to do is make the playoff, and you're fine. Like, who?
Well, James Franklin wasn't fine. He made the playoff. He got to the semifinals.
He was
and they
there
got him up
years,
out of
though.
There. No, I get it.
Yeah.
But with this 12-team playoff, well, it's 12 for now. I get it, Pearl. Making the playoff is enough. But now we're seeing coaches who have teams in the playoff who are leaving for, and it might be a second one if Kalani Sitake from BYU, if they do make the playoff, he might leave for a better job. I think
and also
that was,
John Summerall, I guess, is in play, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing, though, about making the playoff. I don't think it's enough at LSU. Because what was all the talk about Brian Kelly going into the season? It was... Well, Nick Saban won a title at LSU after 3 years, and Les Miles won one after three, and, you know, Ed Orgeron won one after three, or maybe Nick Saban was four, whatever. It's like people get antsy and get itchy, and it's not just about making the playoff, although this is a new world, but it's about winning a title. And that's something that Lane has never shown he can do. And I don't think a lot of people believe that this Ole Miss team is actually going to win a title. So, you know...
Well, yeah, but I think
this is going to end just like every other one of Lane's jobs. Either it's going to end with him in some kind of like getting fired in some kind of, I don't want to say disgrace, but it's going to end like badly, or it's going to end with him getting a better job. And whether it's the Dallas Cowboys become open or whatever you think is a better job than LSU. I know there's not many out there that are better than LSU. But it's going to end one of two ways. I don't see this as Lane Kiffin's getting a statue outside the stadium one day.
Well, okay, but do you think LSU is a better team today than they were yesterday or whatever before they signed him? Because I do.
I don't know.
I think that he's going to amp it up a lot higher than Brian Kelly was able to do.
888.
They're going to have so much talent that it's going to, if this money idea that Lane is talking about is true, they're going to be really good really fast.
No, Ray Charles can see that, brother.
888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. It was a rumor Ed Orgeron would join the staff of Lane Kiffin.
You got $17.1 million on your contract. We're going to give it to you. I said, what time you want me to leave? What door you want me out of, brother?
Can I say one argument?
Way to go down with the ship, Edo.
Totally silly about college football.
Sure.
People say
go
that
Tigers.
The coaches getting paid is taking money away from the players, right? You've heard that.
Yep.
Obviously, LSU is paying all this money to Lane Kiffin. What are they going to do? They're going to pay way more to players to make that investment on Lane Kiffin work. So players are going to totally cash in off this contract. So it's the opposite.
They're paying Brian Kelly. They're still paying Edo.
They need to make all that money worthwhile. So they're going to throw money at money. And this is going to be an expensive roster. So actually the players end up winning here.
Are they like deferring any of this money? Is this a Shohei Ohtani situation?
That's why I don't think that making the playoffs is enough for Lane.
Yeah.
He has to... at least get to the national championship within the next 5 years.
Oh, I think it's less, EJ.
It may be less than that.
I think
I think less is generous too. But like, I think people outside of Louisiana, I don't think we understand how intense that fan base is. Like, they are pretty much just as intense as Alabama. Like, they expect to be in the national championship every year. That's why Brian Kelly having Heisman Trophy winners, beating Alabama just was not enough. And they didn't care. They didn't care for any excuses. I think Lane Kiffin is going to be on a lot of pressure, especially because he's Lane Kiffin. He actually it kind of invites a lot of pressure.
888-710-4ISN. So we got two poll questions out there for you. Number one, are the Patriots a Super Bowl contender or just getting fat off an easy schedule? And two, will LSU get their money's worth with Lane Kiffin? 888-710-4ISN.
All right, Maggie, it is the best time of year because so many different sports are going on. It's the holidays. It's super fun. And I got to tell you, one way to enjoy it is Prize Picks. You can keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting a $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5 on Prize Picks. You simply pick 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on their stat projections, and watch your lineups light up like the holidays. There's a new thing, too. Now they have early payouts. If your lineup gets off to a hot start, which I hope you do tonight, Mag, you may now have the option to cash out those winnings before the game is even done. What do you got?
Okay, how about this one? I've heard all this about Lamine Yamal, the big, right. the big dog.
Yeah, with the interview on 60 Minutes.
Yep, 3.5 shots on goal, Manny. I'm going to go more than.
Good idea.
Barcelona playing against Atletico. Locked in on that game, obviously. And then how about Anthony Edwards, a little closer to home. 29.5 points tonight for Ant. Man against the New Orleans Pelicans. Let's book it. How do you get in on the action on Prize Picks? Glad you asked. So simple. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. You get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. Win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. A little research. We were talking earlier about coaches, whether they took new jobs and left. John Summerall will coach Tulane in the American Conference title game on Friday against North Texas. We'll throw out the record books when that rivalry gets going.
I've always said that.
Yeah. I love both teams, by the way. I love both quarterbacks.
Green.
I do think I've been rooting for chaos all along. So I would love, it's a 12-team playoff and there's 3 interim coaches. God, that would be hysterical.
See, I root for chaos also, but not this kind.
Come on.
Not the coach is leaving from $1 million payday to another multi-gajillion dollar payday.
You don't find Lane Kiffin funny? Is the number one thing that comes to my mind is comedy about this whole thing. Like, I mean, who's really heartbroken here at the end of the day?
Ole Miss, their players.
Why? You know what? You got to get the interim coach bump. Their players, are they really that heartbroken?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think that this is a professional league, and to act like it's some sort of like, oh, these poor little college players need their coach. Get out of here. They're free agents just like he is.
Andrew's in South Carolina. Good morning, Andrew. What's up?
Hey, so I appreciate your point about the fact that, like, these coaches get into the playoffs and they leave.
But I think we're going to see a lot more of that because, frankly, the 12-team playoff is stupid. Only the top four or five teams have a chance to win. You know, 5 through 12 or 6 through 12 are speed bumps. And so what you're going to see year after year is going to be this. Coaches at schools that won't typically make the playoff and aren't making as much money as they could are going to get into the 12-team playoff at 10 through 12 or some stuff, and then they're going to parlay that into better jobs year after year because it doesn't matter. And honestly, expanding it is just going to make it worse. There's no point to expanding the playoff if we're not looking for the best teams.
Wait, hold on, one second, Andrew. So I know, I see what you're saying, and I do think this is going to happen a lot more often, and thank you for the phone call, but look at what happened last year. All four teams that got a bye in the first round lost. So you really can't tell me that only the top four teams are ones that are going to win. Ohio State did not come into that college football playoff on a high note. They had come off a loss to Michigan. It was kind of amazing that they went on that run. You know, Oregon had led the country wire to wire as the number one team, basically, and they got blown out. Like, you can't say that only the top four teams are ones that are going to win the title.
Well, I know what the ranking was, but still, what was Ohio State actually ranked coming into
like
that?
Like 8th, I think.
Yeah, I mean, generally, though, if you look at the Vegas odds, I think Ohio State was probably 4th or 5th. If you actually look at the ranking this year, how many teams can really win it? Because we know Ole Miss, Oklahoma, you know, the ACC team and the Group of Five team. That's 5 or 6 teams that we don't think are going to win. I do think there is something to that. It doesn't feel like all 12 teams have the same chance.
Okay, so if Arizona State, who went to overtime with Texas last year, if Texas doesn't...
They have no chance of winning.
In that game?
No, but winning the whole thing.
But let's just say that was another upset. Like, you can't... Isn't that what we're asking for here? We're asking for more teams to have an opportunity.
Well, I do think, and I said this, and maybe I'm wrong, if Lane Kiffin really thought Ole Miss was going to win the national title this year, would that change his thinking?
I don't think so. I think that he could be lying through his teeth. Al Davis called him a professional liar. Now, that was many years ago. But I think that he says all the reasons why. This is the bigger job. You get the better talent, he thinks.
Right, because I don't think he thinks that this particular team was going to win the title. Because they would have had to win, you know, they 7 or 8 seed. They would have had to win three or four games. I don't think he thought he had the team, honestly. And in an honest moment, if you put Lane Kiffin to a lie detector and say, did you leave for LSU because you thought this Ole Miss team was going to lose in the playoff? I don't know. I mean, also, too, there's some other teams. I'd be shocked if Texas Tech won the national title, and they'll be in there, too. So the caller is right. Not all 12 teams are created equal.
That might be true, but at least they have a shot. Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, these headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. The Giants are definitely terrible, but Monday Night Football didn't have to be as easy as it was for the Patriots.
Diggs is to the right with Mac Collins. And May takes the snap out of the gun. Pressure's coming. Steps up in the pocket. Goes long to the left side. Looking for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Patriots! Kyle Williams, left side of the end zone. What a beautiful ball for 33 yards.
Tom McCarthy on Westwood 1. Drake May just 7 incompletions, 282 yards, 2 touchdown throws in a 33-15 shaming of the Giants. New England led 17-0 after the first quarter, 37 at halftime. Their win streak is now 10. They are the first team this season with 11 wins. Still just 2 for the Giants. They are 0-3 under interim coach Mike Kafka.
It wasn't a great team effort. All three phases, we got everyone's got to step up. Everyone's got to clean up their part of the game, but it's never just one phase, never just one player. So we all got to do a better job.
Giants on 3. On top of all Giants. 3 phases sucking, rookie pass rusher Abdul Carter in trouble again last night, benched for the entire first quarter for an unexplained coach's decision.
I mean, I let my team down. The first 2 drives I was out. They scored 17 points. I take responsibility for that. I got to be out there. I got to do better.
Yeah, which is what you said after you were benched for the opening series of a game a few weeks ago. Back then, Carter missed a walkthrough, he said, because he was receiving treatment. This time, he reportedly missed a, quote, team obligation.
Throw up, Abdul.
So here's my question, right? We go through that whole pre-draft process.
You only
process.
Have one?
I got a couple. But the pre-draft process, Pearl, right? Where you do all the interviews and it's a job interview. And somehow Shedeur Sanders failed this thing miserably, right? To the point where teams couldn't bring him in because he was terrible in the meeting. Famously terrible with the Giants in the meeting. What was Abdul Carter like in the meeting?
On time, apparently.
Well, it's like a lot of good that did, because now he's not on time when the team actually needs him. It's just so funny to me. There's just so many flaws, you know, it seems like with... Because you would have never thought Abdul Carter was an issue from college.
I
don't know anything about his personality. What was he like at Penn State?
Well, he was, according to some people, the best player in this draft. He was unquestioned to be picked where he was. Like, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah. First non-QB.
And exactly. In fact, he actually got a lot of props for character, because remember, he played during that playoff with one arm.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, look out, this guy. This guy could have easily went to the NFL. We talked about players skipping the playoff to go to the NFL. Abdul Carter seemed like Exhibit A.
Yeah.
And he went out there and dominated with one arm. They're like, that guy, he can play on one arm. Imagine the kind of, you know, locker room leader he could become. Yeah. And now we're talking about him missing meetings and cursing out reporters.
Yeah, that's funny, because Micah Parsons, who is obviously the predecessor to him, was a total madman at Penn State and fell about 10 spots because he would not shut up.
Yeah, now he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, most likely. Sorry, was not the first non-quarterback. I thought Travis Hunter got taken second. But anyway.
I think Travis Hunter was going to line up at quarterback, too. I don't remember any... I don't know anything about Abdul Carter's personality, but this is about the Giants and an interim coach. Like, yeah, of course players are making meetings. Mike Kafka is the coach. The guy doesn't even talk.
Yeah, but the thing is Kafka's the coach, but he did bench him for at least a series.
Twice.
Well, it didn't get through the first time.
Right.
Also, can I... listen, it's one thing about Mike Kafka and the coaches. Where's the locker room leaders here, right? Isn't that when the team is good, you don't want to be letting down the guy next to you? Like the Dexter Lawrences, who's smiling as the defensive coordinator got fired... You know, obviously that was not a good match.
Brian Burns.
Where's Brian Burns? Where's...
Being awesome. Well, love that guy.
But leadership-wise.
Yeah, be awesome off the field too, buddy.
I don't know. Just say hike and watch him go kill the quarterback. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, because they're a bad team.
Well, that's true, obviously. But, you know, there are bad teams and there are bad teams. Like, I think there are bad teams, but that will show you that they're not going to quit.
I don't know. George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb missed their meeting because they're out boozing in Vegas and they're kicking butt.
Yeah.
Well, they missed curfew.
Oh, yeah, they didn't miss a meeting.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Steelers.
Oh, actually, I think Pickens did miss some meetings, right?
He missed a flight, I thought, or the bus. Something
Who knows where that guy? Wide receiver, you're allowed to miss meetings. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I always thought a defensive end gets a little bit of that. You know, LT never had to do anything.
Well, I mean, they had to go get LT out of the crack house, but he's the best player of all time, so. Allegedly.
If Abdul Carter was getting the quarterback more, this would all... And he actually got a sack last night, right?
Crack!
I think it was his first snap of the game. He got a snap.
First drive.
Okay.
For sure.
They were already down 17-0, so a little late. But you mentioned it. Even Aaron Rodgers said that they're missing meetings.
Yeah.
Guys are missing film sessions, and it looks like it.
Stay off the weed.
How about this for a meteoric rise? Just a few years ago, Bob Chesney was answering dumb questions from me about the Holy Cross Fordham blood feud. Now, after a pit stop at JMU, the 48-year-old and handsome Chesney is reportedly the choice at UCLA. He has apparently told his team he is leaving, but will coach the Sun Belt title game against Troy later this week and would stay with the Dukes if they win that game and make the CFP.
We're in LA. It's us and USC.
I missed that guy.
Bob can't possibly be worse in his opening press conference.
I think people are confused. Not. Like, why is everyone up in arms about Lane Kiffin? You know, why can't he coach Ole Miss in the playoff, whereas, you know, some of these other coaches do get to stay with their teams? And I think the answer is, you know, you're not so worried about poaching
JMU players. Yeah.
Now, listen, maybe you should be. Some of those JMU players under Kurt Cignetti went straight to Indiana and made the playoff, right?
But I guess the thought is you have no chance if UCLA is calling, right? Like,
right.
At Ole Miss, like, it's Ole Miss. It's another big program. Like,
in theory, you should be in a recruiting battle.
Exactly.
I don't know. I was actually going to ask, like, why is Chesney downgrading to UCLA from JMU? I mean, JMU is a legit powerhouse now. That's a great school, too.
I think
popular school.
I think EJ's right, though. It's about the optics, right? Ole Miss can't let...
It's a conference foe.
Can't let Ole Miss... They can't let Lane Kiffin exist in both.
But it's a conference foe, so it's a totally different... different story.
And that's
also
Mississippi, some Mississippi podcasters mentioned that, like, I know we talk about the Egg Bowl being a big deal, but LSU's big brother. Like, they hate LSU. That is their big rival. Maybe LSU, that's not their rival, but for Mississippi, that's their rival. So to let him coach them while he's still there, it was not feasible.
Yeah, JMU needs to let Bob Chesney do whatever he wants as he's on his way to UCLA.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it would be. I was just trying to picture in my mind's head, what if Lane was still on the sideline for Ole Miss? That would look bad.
Dunking a basketball on the sideline or whatever they do. Thank you, folks. 888-710-4ISN. We have so much to get to today, including your phone calls. Are the Patriots a true Super Bowl contender? That's number one. And number two, will LSU get their money's worth with Lane Kiffin? Coming up next, it would not be a day that ends in Y if we didn't have Browns drama. So we'll get that to you next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, Santa maybe not bringing a lot of W's to Cleveland this season. But that doesn't stop the drama. Listen, we knew that the Cleveland Browns, Pearl, it kind of stinks, actually. They're wasting like an all-time defensive performance by the whole defense, but specifically Myles Garrett, who I don't know if you guys saw this, against the 49ers, because they lost that game, literally Euro-stepped by Trent Williams in a...
The sack where he went up the middle?
He like literally James Harden kind of Euro. It was like Giannis out there. I don't know who it looked like, but he basically like faked out almost like he was the running back. Like he juked out Trent Williams and got to the quarterback. Anyway, wasting an all-time performance, but Myles Garrett will probably win Defensive Player of the Year, whatever that's worth, in a losing effort. But we know that things are bad for the Browns, obviously, right?
Right.
We know that they are probably looking to next year to get another quarterback and start this thing over again. They don't need wives and girlfriends coming over the top to cause even more drama. So the latest is Dylan Gabriel's fiance. Her name's Zoe Caswell. She went to TikTok after the Browns lost to the 49ers and wrote, "Browns lost, what's new?" with a cry laugh emoji. And this is obviously a game that Shador started, you know, and she's getting roasted for it on TikTok. And I guess I would just, or on social media, and I'm never in favor of anyone getting negative comments thrown their way. But I would also ask you, like, girl, come on. What are we doing here? Like, this isn't you. It's not your thing. It's Dylan's thing. And by the way, he may not see the field again. Don't be part of the problem here. Let the guy just go about his business. We saw earlier, remember in the preseason, there was the whole mix-up about Dylan Gabriel, and did he actually say a comment that was intended to be shade at Shador Sanders? Do you remember this, Pearl?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it was a huge deal. Yep. And so it's like, you don't need much to really light the powder keg here. And like, I know these women and men, they're young and they're young people. They're in their early 20s and they're not maybe understanding this here. Girl, come on. I sound so lame when you play that back to me. But you have to understand this is going to become a big story that your fiance is going to have to answer to. Now, listen, he'll answer it well. He'll sidestep it, whatever. But why? Like, he's locked in a quarterback battle. The dude's fighting for his career. Just hold off on the social media. It's not about you.
One thing I want to point out, you sounded lame the first time, too. It wasn't just when you heard it back.
Oh,
girl,
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like you're taking this Browns thing way too seriously. This is Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. I just think that they were really you have two wins, or how many wins they have?
Three.
Three wins. Yeah, you're way past the point of drama. You're kicking a corpse of a team this year. I don't know that there's real impact on here. You said it could light a fire. Like, I don't think that's a thing anymore in Cleveland. Like, it's already burned down to the ground. There's no fuel to light a fire at this point. Is it really going to be a big deal? It feels like they're just playing out the string here, and then they're going to come up with a new strategy in the offseason. I would think, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no real quarterback battle here. It's just who's going to play the rest of the year, and neither of them are the future answer.
Well, okay, but that's not all that's going on. If I'm Dylan Gabriel, and I started at UCF, then I went to Oklahoma, then I went to Oregon, now I'm in the NFL, I was a third-round pick, the Browns happened to draft me, what I'm hoping for maybe is, a shot to start at some point, but if I'm being realistic, I probably want to be a backup quarterback in this league for the next 10 years and make a boatload of money.
Sure.
Right. So I don't need anyone coming in to speak on my behalf, get associated now with me with a negative headline. Like, this is where you just have to be careful, you know? He's totally expendable right now. And I know that, I don't know if the GM or anyone's going to care. I'm just saying, you got to understand, you're always playing for something. And this stupid Instagram comment that now gets, you know, catches fire, it's just not what he needs. And
but
it's
don't
the
you think
Browns.
They
always
yet?
Find the banana peel.
They seem to love them, some Dylan Gabriel. It's like, I think they want him in the building.
Sure, for now, but he's totally expendable.
Well, yeah, but I think that they draft him in third round to be a backup. Maybe, who knows, whoever it's quarterback next year, maybe even Deshaun Watson at some point. I don't get the sense that they're unhappy with him really at all. I don't think they expected anything out of him as a starter.
Okay. Perfect. So don't add anything
they don't
to
care.
It, girl.
They, I don't think the front office or the management cares about a girlfriend Instagram post. I just think that there's not enough, at this point in the season, I don't think there's enough fuel for a real fire here.
You know what it does? It just adds to, like, the laundry list of things that people tick off when you talk about the Browns. You know those T-shirts that they sell where they've got every name of every Brown starting quarterback, basically, since, like, who?
Yeah.
Brian Sipe, whatever. Like,
yeah.
And it's just like, and another one, and another one, and another, and another. And that's the drip, drip, drip here that's always for the Browns. It's like, they have, Dylan Gabriel makes a weird comment in the preseason, and the girlfriend gets involved, or the fiance, or whatever. It just is the laundry list when you're talking about a team whose season has gone off the rails.
I guess so. I just think it feels a little irrelevant now, right? That's what now you're already focused on who's going to be the quarterback next year, who's going to be the coach next year, who's going to be the GM next year. It feels like even the Shedeur Dylan Gabriel thing is losing some heat. Like, Shedeur played this week, mm-hmm. and we were excited for it. And then, at least the way I was following it on social media during the game, kind of be like, okay, yeah, there's nothing much to see here, except for Myles Garrett doing the Eurostep. That was cool. I don't know if people are going to still have the energy to follow this quarterback controversy.
Oh, there was always energy.
I think it's dying. The more he plays, the less interesting it's become. Because there's no offense to build around. Like, he doesn't really have anyone to throw to. He is very inexperienced. He doesn't really probably have a huge playbook in front of him. Quinshon Judkins is okay. Generally, there's nothing really going on here. Like, that game was flat against San Francisco.
No doubt.
Probably be the win, but it's just like, it wasn't as exciting as it should be.
It was not on your timeline that Shedeur Sanders and Jerry Jeudy were getting into it on the sideline?
No, not at all. Actually,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, because Shedeur was almost a non-part of that game. He was barely even dropping back and passing the ball. If you watch that game, it's like, wait, oh yeah, Shedeur is there, but it's super windy, so they don't really know what to do, and they're just going to run Judkins every time.
888-710-4ISN. I'm not trying to make a mountain here out of a molehill. I'm just saying that somehow it feels like this is another example of the Browns just finding a negative headline where none needed to exist.
You know what we talked about earlier in the week of the Browns? It's been sticking in my head.
What's that?
Are they playing their way out of a top five pick and not going to be able to draft a quarterback too, which means Deshaun Watson next year? I've been thinking about that all night. I was in the shower. I was like, wow, the Browns are winning too many games. Are they going to bring back?
Three games? They've won too many games.
Yeah, they're seven now, I think.
They're five because the Giants lost again and because the Jets won.
Yeah. But anyway, I think the Browns might not get a quarterback.
Well, there'll be one there for them. I don't know if they're going to want it. 888-710-4ISN. Let's talk about the Chiefs next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.